It is approximately 2:30 p.m., January 22nd, 2013. This is the ad hoc commission meeting of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. We are in room 423 of the State Capitol Building. My name is Gary Hansen. With me today are Commissioners Chris Nelson and Christy Feagan. This is the ad hoc commission meeting of the matter of the complaint by Oak Tree Energy LLC against Northwestern Energy for refusing to enter into a purchase power agreement. We have one. That is the only item that we have before us today, at least the only docket that we have before us today. On December 26, 2012, the commission issued a procedural order setting forth a schedule for post-hearing briefing, oral argument, and decision. I'd like to thank all of the parties for complying with the order and all the deadlines for the filing. We did mention in that order that there would be the opportunity for oral arguments if parties desired to have that. I would remind the folks at this time that the order for the notice of hearing set forth the issues of a proper application of the hybrid method with no inclusion of carbon costs, proper natural inputs to use in the hybrid method based on market conditions and projections as of the LEO of February 25th, 2011, and the proper electric market rates. The proper capacity contribution and resulting capacity credits to be included in the avoided cost and the avoided cost level, the Northwestern Energy's avoided cost levelized or actual over a 20-year period. I will proceed by asking the parties whether or not they wish to participate in oral arguments. If they do, we will entertain 5 minutes from each party. We'll have Oak Tree, then Northwestern, then staff, then Northwestern, then Oak Tree. The final two Northwestern Energy's opportunities to speak will limit to 2 minutes. If you so desire to proceed, we have had a significant amount of argument and presentations, hearings on this matter, but if there is something that you would like to remind us of in this 11th hour, we'd be happy to entertain that. Oak Tree, do you wish to make a presentation at this time?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would.
And please proceed.
I do promise to be brief. Mr. Chairman, I think at this point it's pretty clear that we argued in our opening second hearing brief. We don't believe that Northwestern Energy's approach to the avoided cost methodology is lawful under the FERC precedent of Exelon Wind, which is a relatively recent decision.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Mr. Uda?
Yes.
This is Sherry, the court reporter. Just having a little trouble hearing you. I was getting everything until you said, I think the something FERC.
Oh, that Oak Tree's position is that the recent Exelon, is that?
That was it. Thank you.
Okay. The Exelon Wind decision, which is 140 FERC paragraph 61-152, indicates that the methodology chosen by Northwestern at our most recent hearing is unlawful. And there wasn't really any rebuttal to that from Northwestern. So we will rely on our briefs on that issue. So I think what we're really talking about is really at this point Mr. Rounds's calculations, which were represented in his spreadsheets just prior to the technical hearing. And Mr. Lockhart made four adjustments to those. He believes those adjustments were valid. And starting with the whole issue of how one were to calculate the load for Northwestern, we believe inclusion of the wholesale sales that were made by Northwestern is a significant portion of their obligations that they need to use their coal generation to meet. It's not the cost issue that matters to Oak Tree. It's really more just when these sales are made represents an additional market. And so we think that that should have been included in the load calculation. And the second issue is the displacement of Big Stone and Neal 4 as of the year 2016. We believe that the evidence is very clear in this hearing that they were avoidable. The upgrades to Big Stone and Neal 4 for air pollution control requirements were avoidable as of February 25, 2011, and we think the arguments to the contrary are not supported by any record evidence. The the third adjustment that Mr. Lockhart made was the issue of the capacity costs, and the argument from both staff and from Northwestern seems to be, well, you know, you can't possibly say that Oak Tree would replace, for example, the Aberdeen facility. But the point is that the Aberdeen facility was still avoidable at the time that Oak Tree incurred an LEO, and it was not the case that the Oak Tree would be an adequate substitute. But if there had been a long-term calculation of what an avoided capacity purchase would be over 20 years, that would not be at the rate either established by Mr. Rounds' spreadsheet or by that which Mr. Lefebvre prepared. We believe that Northwestern moved to a long-term decision to build capacity because of a shortage in the region, and that nobody makes long-term capacity planning additions based on short-term markets, which appears to be the case for both Mr. Rounds and for Mr. Lefebvre. And the fact is that this kinds of purchases would allow Northwestern to avoid a portion of the capacity that it would need over the next 20 years. And we don't think that the cost that is reflected in either Mr. Lefebvre's or in Mr. Rounds' spreadsheet reflects a true long-term avoided cost. And we think the only one, the avoided capacity cost that's actually in the record, is the one developed by Mr. Lockhart. And the last adjustment Mr. Lockhart made is both Northwestern and now Mr. Rounds are saying, well, you need to use a 12.9% capacity contribution instead of the 20 recommended by Mr. Lockhart. Mr. Lockhart believes that there's evidence in the record that Titan has achieved a 20% capacity contribution for 2010, and it was over 30% for 2011. The MISO calculation is an average throughout the MISO footprint with a range between roughly 0 and 30%. And that 0 represents, of course, older technology than would be used by Oak Tree, and we don't see any reason why you wouldn't just use the Midwest Reliability Organization estimate of 20% when Northwestern is a member of MRO and not MISO. And also, we think that the whole idea of annually recalculating the capacity payment is one that is likely to produce significant controversy and considerable expense for the parties, and we really believe that it should be forecast in advance. And we also finally believe that a levelized rate is probably appropriate in this case. We're not saying that you can't set an annual forecast rate that is increased incrementally, such as Mr. Rounds has done. But what we are saying is, and for example, in the case of Titan, there was a partially levelized rate, and that partially levelized rate facilitated financing that project. And, you know, the goal under PURPA is to encourage these technologies, and it would encourage these technologies to use a levelized or partially levelized rate. And we think that it's probably the simplest thing to do would be to roll the capacity payment in, whatever that capacity payment is, into the annual payment, just so there's a certain amount of certainty of revenue stream, and that would also facilitate financing. And that's really all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Ruda. Northwestern?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. I guess just a couple of very brief points. First, the Exelon decision is so much of a red herring that it really doesn't even deserve a response. Let me read from paragraph 8 of that order, which indicates what it was about. Number 3, Exelon complained, and number 3, and I'm now quoting, that the commission uses a methodology to determine the avoided cost rate for as available energy that is inconsistent with the requirements of purpose set forth in the commission's regulations. We're not dealing with setting the avoided cost for as available energy. Even more importantly, in paragraph 52 of that order, FERC stated The problem with the methodology proposed by SPS and adopted by the Texas Commission is that it is based on the price that a QF would have been paid had it sold energy directly in the EIS market instead of using the methodology of calculating the cost to the utility, instead of calculating what the cost to the utility would have been for self-supplied or purchased energy, but for the presence of the QF or QFs in the market, as required by the Commission's regulations. The methodology proposed by Northwestern, the hybrid methodology, whether we use it Northwestern's way or staff's way, clearly is not implicated by the Exelon decision. Secondly, we hear a lot about the importance and PURPA of promoting QFs, of providing it easy for them to achieve financing. I would point out that that's, we've heard a lot of that, but we haven't heard anything about what type of equity contributions or anything else that, that are being made, which also have a very important factor, or are a very important factor in determining financing. But what we haven't heard any place recently from Oaktree is a focus on what the statute requires the cost to be paid to a QF is. And first, in 16 U.S.C. 824-83, sub B1, the statute says the rates for such purchase, that is, purchases from QFs, shall be just and reasonable to the electric consumers of the electric utility and in the public interest. Goes on to say in, in D, incremental cost of alternative electric energy. For the purposes of this section, the term incremental cost of alternative electric energy means with respect to electric energy purchased from a qualifying cogenerator or qualifying small power producer, the cost to the electric utility of the electric energy, which but for the purchase from such cogenerator or small power producer, such utility would generate or purchase from another source. It doesn't say anything about what it might get for selling in the wholesale market. It strictly talks about the cost. Mr. Commissioner and Commissioners, with that, I will be quiet. I think we've, you know, as I looked at this, I believe this is the only docket since 2011 that is still open. I'm glad and pleased that we've reached the point where we're going to have a decision, and I think that the parties have provided you with lots of information upon which you can base your decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff?
Good afternoon. This is Karen Kramer of staff. I have nothing further to add on staff's behalf and will rely on our previously filed brief. Mr. Realms is on the phone should you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kramer. Northwestern, your last bite.
Mr. Chairman, I have nothing to add.
Oaktree?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just two quick points. One, the whole point of the Exelon decision was that the Texas Commission was setting avoided costs and based it on a single node that it knew to be congested in a market to which that those qualifying facilities did not have access. Similarly, with respect to the market price input that Northwestern has prepared in this proceeding, they used a single congested node, which is why they reduced it by $4.50 a megawatt hour, and used a market, the MISO market, to which Northwestern QFs do not have access. So I think it is on point. The second thing I would like to say, the passage that Mr. Brogan just read to you from the statute is a direction to FERC to adopt
rules consistent with those standards. That was what the Supreme Court considered in the American Petroleum Institute case, which I believe was decided in 1982, which upheld the full avoided cost rule. That is not a direction to you. That is a direction to FERC. So in our mind, full avoided cost rule is what you're attempting to achieve. And the question is, among the parties, who do you think has done the best job, and what should that full avoided cost be? And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Appreciate that from all of the parties. I failed to ask if there was anyone else on the telephones when we started the process here. Is there anyone else on the phone line?
Pat Makins, Oak Tree Energy.
Thank you, Pat. Anyone else? I think. Appreciate that. At this juncture, we have the opportunity to make some remarks and discussions as commissioners and decisions. And so I will close the hearing to that process. Now, some commissioners are known to have to prepare motions prior to the meetings, and some prefer to vote individually on items as they appear. So I will look to the commissioners to see whether or not anyone has any prepared motions or anything that they would like to start off with. And Commissioner Nelson?
I do have a motion, and I'll put it on the table at this point, and we can see where it rolls from there. I would move that this commission adopt for this docket the avoided cost rates as will be provided in the handout that I will send around. And for those of you on the phone, Tina will be emailing this to you as we speak. So everybody will have the same document that we're going to work off of. John has one.
Just for a process here, I'm going to ask if Commissioner Feagin might have a... Were you planning to present one as well? You are? Okay, thank you. Just an FYI for us. And please proceed, Commissioner Nelson.
Thank you. The first thing that I'd like to say by way of explanation, and I say this to all three of the parties, in the 2 years that I've been on the commission, I have enjoyed working through this docket as much as any that we have dealt with. A lot of fascinating issues and very important issues. The second thing that I would say to Mr. Rounds, I thought you did a phenomenal job of putting your model together. And the sheet that I have passed out comes from your model, and I have used your spreadsheet model in developing this. Your model was sound, and I felt very comfortable using that. What I'd like to do is talk about the assumptions that I put into this model and how they differ from what Mr. Rounds had in the model. The first assumption is that I took Northwestern's actual hourly load shape and converted it into the IPIC hourly blocks. I like the block formula. I like how that worked into the model. But as I think we had substantial testimony that it wasn't perfect. And in my mind, the way to make that perfect is take Northwestern's actual hourly load shape and load it into those blocks. And so that was the first thing that I did, the first change that I did to Mr. Rounds's model. The second assumption that I made was to adopt Mr. Green's load growth forecast of 2.25% per year for the next 20 years. That comes from Northwestern. I have no reason to quibble with that. The next thing that I addressed is proper capacity costs, and I have gone with the $36 per year figure growing at 5.84% per year. And I understand that Oak Tree has some trouble with that $36 figure. Oak Tree has said that it was a provisional offer and only for a short period of time. I found the offer to be credible, and while the offer may have been for a short time, I don't find anything in the record that would say that the offer could not be continued or that a similar offer might not be available at the end of the 3 or 4 years that this offer was for. And I believe that those opportunities would be out there, especially considering that we are increasing the capacity cost at 5.84% per year, and that number came from Northwestern. And so I am comfortable with that inflation factor in the area of capacity cost. The next assumption that we go to is the appropriate capacity figure from the wind farm. And this is an area where I struggled, and frankly, I've been all over the board. At one point, I was at 15.5, then I went to 12.9, and frankly, I have settled on 20%. Because Northwestern is part of MRO and not part of MISO, the 20% MRO figure most closely matches where this facility is going to be located. And I think probably most closely matches what the actual capacity will be. And so I am comfortable with the 20% figure times 18.915. Number five assumption is that the RECs stay with Oaktree. I don't want to mix those into this bag. Oaktree keeps them, and they can market them as they see best fit. And lastly, I find that Northwestern's base generation is 191 megawatts, and all of these assumptions then have been plugged into Mr. Rounds's model and spreadsheet and have produced the document that you see before you. The last thing that I would like to address is the issue of levelized versus what are titled on this sheet, rounded actual yearly figures. And I appreciate the comments of all of the parties as to whether or not we had to go with a levelized or a modified levelized. And for my motion, I am proposing that we go with the rounded actual numbers per year. And the reason I propose that is I believe that best protects the ratepayers of South Dakota. I fully understand that Oaktree has every intention of operating for a full 20 years and being a good operator for 20 years. But I also understand that stuff happens. And sometimes businesses go out of business without ever, you know, with no intention to do that. And so to best protect the ratepayers of South Dakota, should something awful happen to Oaktree somewhere along the next 20 years, I propose that that we use the rounded actual numbers. And you can see those in the proposal that I have laid out. I believe that answers all of the questions that we have been asked to answer and provides a number that while neither side is going to be happy with, I believe this is the number that the inputs demand. And the inputs have driven the numbers that you see on the proposal. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Nelson. I sincerely appreciate the amount of work you went to on developing this, and I can tell you I support at least some of the proposals you have here and struggle with some, and even up and through today I have been going over some of these to the extent that I was on one side and the other. Levelized and actual has created a lot of consternation for me, and this morning as I was working on it, I kept convincing myself that actual was the way to go, and before I walked up here the last half hour, I'd been measuring it, and it came down with the, I had decided I was going to support levelized. But I have windows of where I'm willing to support and where I believe there's justification, and as long as proposals fit within those windows, then I plan to support them. I am very interested in hearing what Commissioner Feagin's proposal is at this time. Commissioner Feagin?
May I butt in 1 second? I wanted to just confirm, if I might, the parties. Have you received the document that Chairman Nelson has passed around here?
Yes, I have. This is Mike Uda.
Okay. Al?
Yes, I have, Mr. Smith.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Commissioner Feagin?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you want me to move a substitute motion and then discuss it or discuss my parameters within the current motion.
If you're able to express your concerns with the present motion, how yours would fit within that, that would be fine. If you have a handout, we would entertain that. However, if we... The challenge is that there's a motion on the table, and I wouldn't want you to... Well, you have every right to make a substitute if you wish. However, it's less juggling at this time if you'd explain yours.
Okay. So with the chairman's direction, I'll talk a little bit about... all of us have really looked through lots of documentation and details, and I think, like Commissioner Nelson expressed, first of all, thank you to Oak Tree and Northwestern and the Public Utilities Commission staff for their dedication and their hard work. They have worked very hard on details and given us a lot of information and actually quite a bit of time to really study this. My goal is to be fair, reasonable, but practical all at the same time. I do not have a handout, but I will verbally tell you what I have done. Of course, I have my own worksheets. But first of all, I use the Public Utilities Commission's exhibits and use their spreadsheets as a baseline. So I used, again, Brian Round's Excel spreadsheet and made modifications to that spreadsheet. I actually did agree with the staff and their energy calculation, so I kept that the same. Also, I can't quite tell. I think the staff changed in their second modification to 18.915 megawatts. That's what I put in my formula instead of the 19.5. Also, on accredited capacity percentage, that is one, just like Commissioner Nelson said, I struggled with. I really wanted to use the 15.5, but the more I looked into it, that was not available February 25th, 2011. I looked at averaging 20% and 12.9, coming up with 16.45. But at the end of the day, I went with 20% because I think that's something that we had from MRO, the Midwest Reliable Organization. I used a capacity value different than Commissioner Nelson. I believe that Oak Tree made a convincing argument that the avoidable cost is the formula would look at 141 kilowatts per hour with no inflation. So that's what I used for capacity value. I have the Oak Tree retaining the renewable energy credits. And at the end of the day, what I come up with is a levelized avoidable cost of $53.69 with those documentations used. Of course, I would sure like the staff to review that just to make sure my assumptions are correct in the formula, but it appears that we're pretty close there. Some people ask about the 141, and I certainly asked that myself during the entire hearing. 141 just seemed like such a large number. But when you looked at it is really taken down because you look at the 12.9 or the 20%, and you're looking at more megawatts of around 4 megawatts instead of the 18 or 19 or 3.7, whatever. The megawatts are down. So that is absolutely the intermittence is an issue that has been addressed at that item. You look at levelized avoided costs versus actual, and that's a tough one. But when utility companies come to the commission for a rate case and they bring a brand new facility to us to put in the rate, of course, their costs are high in the beginning. When the depreciation goes, it becomes lower. So it's reverse if we would use the actual cost, and that's why I went with levelized. So that is my recommendation.
Thank you, Commissioner. Fagan, as Commissioner Nelson and Commissioner Fagan went through their presentations, I should have discussed a little bit more when Commissioner Nelson explained his, that I had come down on the side of staff's energy recommendations. The capacity cost, Commissioner Nelson, I'm struggling with it being at $36. I was looking at it being higher than that. I do agree with you on the load growth of 2.25%. If we're looking at load growth, the wind farm capacity at 20% times 18.915 is what I had arrived at, and the rec stay with Oak Tree. And Northwestern Generation is 191 megawatts. I agree with all of those things. The levelized is where I have a challenge. And I'd allow you to entertain those thoughts if you would.
I think maybe the question that I've got for both of you that I didn't hear addressed is the first point that I made. And we had quite a bit of testimony last time about the fact that Northwestern's hourly load shape didn't match the IPIC load shapes that were used. And I didn't hear that either of you changed or corrected that. Can you tell me why you're comfortable not changing that and making that as accurate as possible?
As I went through it, I came up with 191. And I came up with the Northwestern load shape as well. You wanted to convert it to the EIPC?
Yeah, the 191 is their generation.
Right.
And when I'm talking about load shape, I'm talking about their demand.
Right. I did not have a problem with that as you had presented it. The basic challenge I had with your presentation is the capacity cost, I felt, should be higher, and levelized versus actual.
Understand.
I kept with the current EIPC, and it's documented. It's available to anybody. And I decided that was something I wasn't going to fall on the sword on. And I felt comfortable with what the Public Utilities Commission staff have done with that.
What I'm observing is that, and I think Commissioner Fagan, the two areas that we're not on the same page are on the capacity cost and this issue of what the proper load shape is, but apparently they must almost nearly wash out because we're within 40 cents of each other.
Mine is 53.69 beginning in 2014.
Oh, okay. So then we're about $1.70 apart or $1.60 apart.
Yeah, in 2013 would be 52.38.
We're pausing for a moment here. Some discussions with counsel taking place. I almost called you commissioner. Mr. Rizlov, did you have anything that you wanted to felt compelled to speak on?
I don't really feel compelled unless you feel compelled to ask me a question. No, I could. I mean, there is a difference in the load shapes used between the two commissioners, but there were other elements of the IPIC study that weren't exactly, let's say, in exact sync with Northwestern, but they did reflect this part of the country. So Mr. Rollins did have some explanations on those differences and over time why certain things in his mind will even out. So I guess either recommendation is fine from my point of view.
If we, Commissioner Rislov, if we use levelized instead of actual, which of those areas would we not need to include in a motion?
If we use
a levelized cost as opposed to actual, which of the would we need to worry about the hourly load shape?
Well, I think the hourly load shape is going to determine your energy rate, and regardless of which one, it's going to affect whether it's levelized or, the exact annual payment, so to speak. The hourly load shape affects either.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Nelson, are you working on some things? Okay. Go right ahead. I'll tell you both at this time that your capacity cost at $36 was lower than the one that I was looking at. Mr. Fegan, do you have anything at this time?
No, I just like my discussion.
All right. This is much like a genealogy as you're looking at all of the ramifications and nuances of this item. It just branches off and branches off and branches off. There are many, many sub-issues and items that affect other items, and it becomes extremely complicated. That's why it takes time to work out even a small change in one area, how it affects the entire arena.
Well, Commissioner Hansen, let me ask, what capacity cost would you...
I was looking at 56.56.
And where did that... was that found?
That's levelized from Northwestern Energy. Like I say, I have windows that I'm working with. Highs and lows, and I mean, there's.
And then, are you proposing any inflationary factor for the capacity cost?
I considered that on when I was looking at actual. I don't know that I spent any time considering that when I was working with the levelized cost.
Well, if I could just throw three numbers on the table so you understand what the ramifications of these three are.
Sure.
My capacity proposal, and fortunately we're all on the same page with the 20% times 18.915, so that's easy. My capacity proposal of $36 times the inflation factor of 5.84 comes up with a total capacity payment over the 20 years of $6,773,894. Commissioner Fegan's $141 with no inflation essentially doubles that, $12,801,672. And Commissioner Hansen, if I understood you right, going with a $56.56 capacity cost with no inflation, $5,135,195. So that's just so you know what the impact is.
Sorry, could you repeat Commissioner Hansen's?
$5,135,195. Further discussion?
I guess maybe a question. So, Commissioner Hansen, where are you at on the issue of levelized versus actual?
I like levelized.
Okay.
Now, let me, instead of simplifying it like that, I really struggle between actual and levelized. I mean, I really have struggled on that. I think if I'm buying something, I want to know what the actual is. If I'm selling something, I want to know what the actual is. I just see the complications in the true-ups, the costs of going through the process, the potential of them coming before us every other year to try to resolve some issues. I think it uncomplicates it significantly to go to levelized. And that's where I fall down.
Okay. If I could ask both of you, there was some discussion or some offer by Oaktree that if we were to go with levelized, that they'd be willing to put some security forward to try to protect the ratepayers should something go terribly wrong. Is that something either of you considered?
I'm inclined not to go that route, no.
Okay.
That's part of the concern I have for trying to use all of these different machinations in order to make something function, overcomplicating something that doesn't need to be. At the same time, I can see where you and I are not very far apart on the capacity cost. Of course, $1.5 million to some folks is a lot. It's all relative, isn't it? Commissioner Fegan, did you have something?
And the differences that Commissioner Nelson and I have are energy, the energy value.
I believe the difference is in the load shape.
Right, which goes down to the energy value.
Correct.
So the energy value.
Yeah, the energy. I think we are all comfortable using staff's energy values. But
correct.
The load shape is
affects correct
how that spreads out, correct. And that's where our difference is. And obviously, I'm interested in that being as accurate as possible, and that's why I went through the work of taking the hourly loads from Northwestern and plugging them in.
And I truly believe the, the 141, I struggled with that in the beginning. And the more I looked at it, it looks like to me it's the most accurate item we can use for avoidable cost.
Basically, Commissioner Nelson, the only differences that you have, and I, considering the difference of capacity, is levelized versus actual. And the certainly the capacity cost is within that window.
And let me say, I am certainly willing to move your direction on the levelized if you'll accept my my capacity cost.
I was playing Monopoly with my 8-year-old grandson the other day, and he was making very difficult proposals to me. And had you gone the other way and said that you wanted to, me to move to actual, I would have said no. I'll compromise on the capacity cost if you will compromise on the levelized. Yes.
I am certainly willing to do that. And so, if I understand, then the only change in my proposal would be that in my motion would be that it would be levelized as opposed to actual.
Correct. And that it would take staff's energy proposals. Do you wish to restate your motion then at this time?
If that would be acceptable, I would restate the motion adopting all of the assumptions and figures as proposed on the sheet that I handed out, and using the levelized cost. And if operation begins in 2013, it would be $53.31. If it begins in 2014, $55.34.
Excuse me. Discussion on that motion. Commissioner Nelson, since it's your motion, do you wish to discuss anything on it?
I think the only thing that I would say, and probably the biggest difference that I've got with Commissioner Feagin, is that I very much want to see the most accurate hourly load shape used, and this incorporates that. I understand we have a difference on the capacity value, but the fact that I'm utilizing the inflation factor that Northwestern put forward, that moves it up. And I think these numbers are defendable and arrive at a reasonable figure.
Commissioner Feagin, do you wish to discuss anything on the motion? No? In that case, there being no further discussion, this is on the motion. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes no.
Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. I don't believe there's any further business to come before us on this item. If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Feagin. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Commissioner Feagin.
Do I have to go first again? Commissioner Feagin votes aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. We stand adjourned.